Hey everybody, this is Sean from Low Code Approach. Before we hop in today's episode, I want to let you know that we are collecting everyone's thoughts on what topics we should cover for the upcoming season. To submit them, hopefully you're not driving. If you are, wait until you get somewhere safe, but go to aka.ms/low code topic request. That's all one word, aka.ms/low code topic request. From there, enter what topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming season. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to get to them and get to the best people at Microsoft to talk to. Anyway, thanks for listening. We're excited to get your thoughts. Yo, what's up? Welcome to a new episode of the Low Code Approach. I'm Sean Feeney, and I have ultra original intros, and then I'm joined by...
And I'm not as cool as Sean or Ken, so I'm Wendy Haddad. I'm a senior cloud solution architect, delivery lead, and a former Microsoft customer, and I'm joined by...
You know, much like the folks that we're going to be talking to today, I'm not sure who I am, where I belong, or what product group I might be a part of now. But they are here to answer some of those questions. I'm Ken Aguilar, and back over to Sean.
Wow, that was a great intro, Ken. Thank you so much. So we are actually joined by Patrick LeBlanc, Principal Program Manager, and Adam Saxton, Principal Program Manager on the Fabric team. You better know them already as GynaCube because they are awesome, and we are very lucky to have them join us. How you guys doing?
Living the dream.
Jinx.
Very cool. So let's go over to our first question from Wendy.
Okay, so you guys work in Power BI or Fabric, or are you even part of the Power Platform anymore? Like, where is Power BI fitting in? Let's just dive right in.
Power BI is everywhere.
I said it earlier.
Power BI is everywhere. Look, Power BI is the OG, right? It was there first. And then came Power Platform, which said, oh, Power BI is doing some amazing things. Let's do some other things too. And then that was the birth of the Power Platform. And then Power BI is still there. Like, it's heart of that Power, it's the original Power. So we don't consider PowerPoint part of this because it doesn't have a space in the name. So after that, we decided the Power BI platform itself is amazing. We've got a large user base, the infrastructure that's part of that, the portal, the capacity usage, all of that is great. So what we did was we took that platform and expanded it to additional workloads. So now we've got warehouse, we've got lakehouses, all of these things, and that's called Microsoft Fabric. So Microsoft Fabric is actually birthed from the Power BI platform specifically, but it's still part of Power Platform.
So would you say that Power BI is the beginning and everything else is the end? Power BI is the alpha. And everything yes. else is the omega. Yeah, yeah. Without Power BI, there will be no Power Platform. There will be no Power, right? Power BI started it all.
Wait, I want to clarify a little bit. So the question's coming out. I promised I wouldn't get on my soapbox, but we're 2 minutes in. Power BI is still part of the Power Platform, or Fabric is part of the Power Platform?
Sure, yes. But it's Power BI.
But it's
so from a marketing perspective, it's Power BI. From a technical perspective, I mean, it's Power BI is Fabric.
Got it. So they are equivalent there.
So we've got, you know, Power BI is part of Power Platform, but why is there a separate admin center for Power BI? Why is it not in PPAC or Power Platform Admin Center? What's the separation there?
I'm going to throw it back to you and ask why Power Platform created their own admin center.
Thank you.
Because again, Power BI was there
Thank
first.
Thank you, Adam.
We had an admin portal.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
What happened?
Thank you.
I started this podcast to ask questions and I will hide behind that shield.
I think that's over to Ken.
I'm curious. What happened?
Thank you, Adam. I want to just say that I was a customer before all this happened. I'm trying to fix this right now.
Some of the history there too is the one thing that is actually like technically actually spreads and used by all of them is the on-premises data gateway.
Yes.
Which also was used for Power BI first. And then we expanded it to the other parts of the Power Platform. And the management of the gateway, I would say the better, more modern experience of the gateway actually started in the Power Platform Admin Center. And now that same experience is also exposed inside of Power BI. But for a while, Power BI admins had to use, a Power BI admin is going to go to the Power Platform Admin Center just for the gateway. Or originally they would have before we had the experience inside of Power BI. And so that's why the Power BI administrator role, which is actually now the Fabric administrator role, has access to the Power Platform Admin Center because of the gateway capabilities. The other thing I think where some of this confusion spawns and where there are some, it's, I kind of say it's Microsoft showing its seams a little bit, is that the engineering groups are actually different engineering groups. And so it's a difference between Charles Lamanna's org and Arun Ulag's org. So Azure data versus, you know, the business application stuff.
I'm trying not to go like super deep into all the technical ease of things, because like, Adam, you're just sparking so many questions for me right now. But maybe, can we talk a little bit more about the shared admin roles and just, you know, what all the entitlements have inside of that? For example, as a Power BI admin, I don't want people getting on my lawn. Can the Power Platform admin get inside of there as well? Or, you know, what does that look like? How does the segregation of duty and permissions and things look? What does that look like?
Good question. So the Fabric administrator role, which is inclusive of Power BI, is an administrator of Fabric, right? So the Fabric admin portal, the capacity management, all of that from a Power BI side and Fabric side, that's what they get exposure to. In addition to that, they get exposure to the Power Platform admin center because of the gateway pieces. There's also the Power Platform administrator role, which my understanding is it doesn't have any access inside of an administration piece with inside of Fabric. So it has access to the Power Platform admin center and then other aspects on the Power Platform side, except Power BI. That's my understanding of that part.
It's a clear separation of duties, though, right? It could be confusing. I was just having this conversation the other day. It's a clear separation between those two admin roles.
Over the past year, we've had this reoccurring theme of this little tiny thing, small, called Copilot.
Oh, that's Patrick's favorite thing.
Here we go.
Patrick, let's talk about Copilot. Like, what's up with Copilot and Fabric?
Yeah, Patrick, what's up with Copilot?
And Power BI. Like, I'll be maybe a little bit more specific if I can, right? Could I potentially use Copilot to discover different data sources and whatnot within Fabric and Power BI, and then build an exfiltration of data workflows or something along those lines, use it for data discovery and potential malicious purposes?
Ken, to sneak in the governance question.
Yeah, he's all getting all
Copilot question, not restraining himself.
A new tech word. He's getting all security. With Copilot, so there's several Copilots inside of Fabric. We just announced a couple the other day. There's one for data science. There's one for data flows, but specifically the one for Power BI. Right now,
there's actually four for Power BI, but
yeah, there's several for Power BI. But I'm assuming you're talking about the one that's in the service that will help you create these magical and beautiful reports.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right now, that Copilot works against a particular semantic model. So it's not going to go out and discover additional data sources. You're going to build out a nice goal semantic model that people are actually going to do their analytics against. And when you enter the prompts are sent to our OpenAI Azure service. It's all in Azure. So it's not leaving the boundaries of that. And some of the key data points are sent to that OpenAI service. But beyond that, you know, trying to extract the actual data out of it, the OpenAI sends the response back, and then we generate some DAX, and then we run that DAX against the underlying source and bring the data back and visualize your report. So there's very little data that's going out to the OpenAI service. And, you know, trying to exfiltrate or look for additional sources just using that Copilot, Microsoft runs on trust, man. Yeah, I watch all my videos here. So you're not going to get me here, Ken. My boss is right here. So Microsoft runs on trust. I did all of my...
all your trust code training?
I did all my trust code training.
I think the big point there, too, on the Copilot piece is that it's building the report visuals on the canvas for you. Yeah. So it's not exfiltrating data. Mm-hmm. Now, the visuals, once they're built, obviously that's got data available and you can export the data to like Excel or something like that.
I mean, you can take a picture of it.
That's not Copilot.
Yeah, you can take a picture of it. So
that's not Copilot.
Just somebody walks in the building, take everybody's follow up. They will completely eliminate.
You're trying to do like a Dave Chappelle show or something. I mean, just everybody.
No.
Okay, I'm going to throw you a curveball question. Totally going off script here, but you just said there's four Copilots.
Yeah. I had to correct our VP of product was on our live stream, and I had to correct her and said, no, there's four. And she's like, four? Like, there's three. And I'm like, no, there's four.
Well, but if I'm channeling my inner Ken, there's Copilot, 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 right? There's the M365. Now you're saying within one product, there's four, not including what's in the Power Platform. Do you think the future and the future you guys are planning in product in the Power BI for Fabric product team, is it always going to be multiple separate Copilots, or do you think there will be a convergence of Copilot?
Honestly, where I'm kind of reframing how I talk about it is there's one Copilot. There's Fabric Copilot. And with inside of Fabric, we're utilizing Copilot in different areas and different capabilities. And so try to maybe avoid the confusion around that. So we've got Copilot enables the ability to author reports, which is the shiny thing that everyone wants to do. There's a summarize visual that's leveraging Copilot and OpenAI to actually summarize data within the report. And there's some interactions that the end user can have with that. There's updates to our question and answer visual that's now leveraging the OpenAI pieces. And then also we have what's in the product. It actually says DAX Copilot, which actually helps you generate DAX with inside of Power BI Desktop. So I think there's different capabilities or features that leverage Copilot with inside of Power BI.
So if I'm channeling my inner Ken and I have to do a security review, I would review one Copilot or I would review all of them as an admin, like taking a look at this from that stance. Are we separately documenting them or, you know, because you mentioned four, I think that could be confusing to our listeners, right? Who may be looking at the governance piece. So I want to make sure we're being clear as they're taking a look at this, they have to review the entire Copilot and the use cases, yep. Correct? Yep. Not just separate Copilot.
Yeah. And even if you look at the docs, right, there's a Copilot overview from a Fabric perspective. There's a Copilot overview. And then directly below that in the hierarchy of that, you'll see one for Power BI, you'll see one for data science, you'll see one for Power Query. That kind of just extends the overview doc to kind of focus on the area, each individual area. So if I'm doing a security review, I'm looking at all of it.
But also understand that from an infrastructure perspective, Fabric is interacting with the Azure OpenAI services.
Yep.
So that's a consistent approach between all of those feature areas with inside of Fabric. So there's a lot of commonalities between them, but from a security perspective, I absolutely agree. You should look at all vectors of where that comes at.
Yep.
Wendy and I are going to the corner now so that Sean can speak.
All right. Thank you, too. I appreciate that. Hey, so let's keep on the Copilot train. How do customers measure the value of Copilot? Are we talking time saved? Are we talking dollars saved? What's the metric? How do I visualize that metric to report on it? Like, what are we doing here to show the value?
Patrick, before you answer, I'm going to throw out our phrase, it depends.
For the best, right? It really does depend. But before we even get to how you measure it, the success of Copilot, especially if I think about Power BI, depends on the quality of your data. So if you have poor data quality, the output of what Copilot gives you is going to be as, you know, valuable as the quality, as clean, as responsive, as direct as the quality of your data. So if you're putting garbage in there, if no values, inconsistent data, misnamed columns, you don't have a well-structured model, it's going to be worthless. It's worthless. Now, if we do take some time and care building and providing, you know, clean-ish data, the output of it, you know, for me, at least for my uses of Copilot, is a more efficient workforce. I'm not eliminating my workforce. I'm helping them work smarter and faster because I look at Copilot as a complement to my developers, to my data analysts, as opposed to a replacement, right? It gives you a great starting point. But, you know, from that, I look at it and we even have some disclaimers in there. It's like, look, take a look at this before you, you know, push this out. And so there's a little, hey, this is Copilot's great, but it's a starting point and it should make my developers and my analysts and the people that's using it much more efficient. And that's where the value, I think, at least one of the value points that I think comes in from Copilot.
Well, and to Patrick's point there, though, validate, validate, validate. You know, you have to.
So, Adam, Patrick, like, my brain is just spinning right here. And I thought I was going to stay in the corner, but I had to jump back. Let's maybe, you know, do a little bit of thinking here, right? And thought leadership. Are we actually thinking in the way of being able to assist our customers with data transformation, data validation using Copilot? Like, how are we thinking about that as a tool to assist our customers with their data?
In terms of that, when I think of the different aspects that are available in Fabric, maybe not like the Power BI authoring piece specifically, but, you know, when we think about notebooks, when we think about Data Factory, these items, it can help you quickly formulate things to validate data and to validate outputs. And so, again, to Patrick's point, it helps shortcut things. So you're still doing the same things you would have done before practically, right? So you still have, if you're going to validate things, you still have to maybe write some code or write a syntax or you've got to look at it, right? So this just helps you shortcut some of those so you can get to it quicker.
I so desperately just want to say, let's head over to my laptop. I just want to head over to my laptop and show you. Well, I know.
I know you do, but this is a pod. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask a follow-up question, just camping on the security and governance for a moment. Self-service BI, how are we positioning that? How are we thinking about that? How are we telling people we're built on trust and then you've got self-service? So do I really believe you, Patrick? How should our listeners be thinking about it?
You have to believe me, Wendy. You have to believe me. I work for Microsoft. I watched all the videos.
Look at his face. For all of you watching the podcast, just imagine his face. Like, it's a trustworthy face.
Absolutely. So there's things built into Power BI to help you ensure that, you know, whoever is doing self-service, they're working with the right level of data. And so, for example, we have sensitivity labels. We have where you can certify your data sets or certify your reports. Endorsements. Yeah, the endorsements. And so let's say I am a analyst that does a lot of work. I don't want Adam to create reports for me because he's an awful report creator. And I just want him to build a wonderful data model for me, so a semantic model, so that I can go and do my own self-service. Before that data set, that semantic model is released to me, we have we put a sensitivity label on it, and then Adam gives it to some SME, some subject matter expert around that data, and then they certify that data set before it was even in my hands to ensure that anything that I produce, that anything I share out, that anything I send to Wendy, Ken, or Sean, you know, from a, let's say, a sales perspective, our finance numbers, has been certified and endorsed by that person. All this is just built in. You don't have to do anything. It's just all built in the fabric, and it just works.
So we actually had a conversation with a customer, I want to say last week, where this actually came up. And we saw this a lot more when Power BI was young, but it's interesting this organization was there where most organizations when Power BI was taking off was it started as like this grassroots thing and it was all self-service, right? And the central IT didn't know what it was. And they're just like, I don't care, do your own thing. I don't care about that. I'm going to focus on my central IT things. And then it gets to a certain point where there's critical mass within the organization and they're like, ooh, hold the phone. We got to get our hands around this thing. What's going on? Like, this is real. And so this customer was at that stage and they're like, look, it's self-service all over the place. We got to rein this in. Most uses of Power BI, you're going to have the self-service, you're going to have the central IT stuff. But to Patrick's point, like, endorse those things. So the finance group is going to create their trusted finance model. This is coming from central IT. They're going to mark it as certified because people just can't say it's certified unless they're allowed to say it's certified, right? And so as you're going to build your self-service report, you're going to go look and see, discover what data sets are available to you. You're going to see, oh, this one's certified. I trust that. Then those reports also could be certified because they're using that trusted data. And you can look at the lineage to see where that data is coming from. And so if it's not certified, you gotta validate that to make sure it's legit, or if they did some other calculation that's not the main one that like the CEO is looking at.
But I mean, there has to be a process, you know, there has to be some education, maybe a center of excellence. Yeah. Right? Look at that. That's teaching people, look, and there needs to be a process. Don't put these uncertified or endorsed reports or data sets into a place that people can use them, because I mean, if it's out there, let's just be honest, people are going to use them. So there has to be some governance process to ensure that all this is in place.
I like the notion of marking something as certified. And also, it's like you all were reading my brain and setting me up. Like, we work at the same place. I don't know. One of the questions that I'd like to ask is, you know, we know that we have this very large and extensible ecosystem from, say, Fabric, which in Power BI, to our Azure ecosystem that we have right now. But many of our customers are using things like those other two cloud providers.
The ones that shall not be named.
Yes, those guys over there. When they also use other things other than, say, Dynamics, like this little application called SAP. You know, nobody's ever heard of it or anything like that. So what I'm curious about is, what do you hear from customers in terms of like their challenges of, say, integrating with third-party systems, and how are you addressing those?
I will say, so Patrick and I, in the context of the Fabric Cat team and the Fabric product group, we work with the world's largest customers, so all the strategic and major customers. I will say any large enterprise customer, they're going to have a mix of stuff in their environment. It's very rare that I see, like, we're just on one platform, right? They've got different groups are doing different things, and so you got to deal with that. And so there are things with inside of Fabric and Power BI that allow for multi-cloud type connections, right? From our connectors that are leveraged for connecting to data sources, which are actually shared with the data platform or with Power Platform, to what we're introducing inside of Microsoft Fabric with shortcut capabilities, where we can shortcut to an Amazon S3 bucket. We'll be able to shortcut to Google storage. Those are all things that are available. The challenge I see with those large enterprise organizations, though, is it's not that simple, because you usually have those things restricted from a network perspective.
Exactly.
And that's where the challenge comes in, right? Is how does Fabric or Azure or whatever is in Microsoft's ecosystem, how does it connect to that other cloud provider? And typically it's not as straightforward as, oh, we just opened up a firewall rule and it can just connect, right? So they're routing through some VPC or VNet type system, and you've got to account for those things. And that's where things like the gateway come in to bridge that communication.
But then in addition to that, you have silos within those organizations. So this org may be using this technology, this org may be using that technology, and we need to integrate them together. And this one goes, nope, we're not going to allow you to connect using Microsoft's technology because we're all this platform. So we're not using that. And so not just from a technical perspective, it's a culture thing too, that we have to overcome
culture
a lot.
Culture that you got to do. And that's where you got to buy them some donuts or.
Eloquent comment for maybe, I guess, both of you all. It depends.
It depends.
And we got to navigate that landscape, right?
Yeah.
So it's not a simple answer. There's things that we got to go through. And then even going through those things, that complicates going back to what we talked about before, is some of those security reviews that have to happen, right? So you need to understand where data is flowing in and out, and who has access to those things. And do we have trusted accounts that are managed and servicing those things? So there's a lot that goes into it.
All right, I'm going to pull us back a little bit.
Pulling a can.
I know. I'm going to pull us back up to macro level as we land the plane here. We talked about Power BI is part of the Power Platform. It's kind of separate. It is Fabric. It's not. And so as we think about both the positioning, and what I mean by that is, how do organizations think about the strategy? How do they communicate these tools? The Center of Excellence Toolkit doesn't even address it. I'm getting the it depends money holding up from Patrick.
They haven't even explained like what that is.
You know what I mean? There's organizations like we were talking about that they woke up and everybody's using self-service Power BI, right? Yeah. As you mentioned. And then there's other organizations who may be blocking or maybe using other tools from other customers and maybe evaluating Power BI. So do they need to be creating the Power Platform and Power BI or Fabric strategy in tandem? Is it really more just a marketing term and it's separate? You know, should they be setting up the COE toolkit to see the usage? Where should we be thinking about center?
You really want Patrick to flash that it depends.
I know.
It definitely does depend. So the COE toolkit that you mentioned, that is specific to the Power Platform except Power BI. Power BI does have guidance on its documentation. So we've got the adoption roadmap documentation, which actually talks about like, how do we approach this from an enterprise perspective? Talking about things like, you know, having an executive sponsor, making sure we've got that center of excellence in place. And I will actually tell you, some of the adoption framework stuff was modeled after what was done with the COE toolkit for Power Platform. So those are all things, I think there's commonalities in that approach of how you look at it. From a technical perspective, where I think the commonality between Power BI and the rest of the Power Platform comes into play is when we start talking about the data, because the connectors are shared between those environments. And so when we start talking about how do we leverage certain data, then it becomes a business use case of how do we want to leverage that data? And that's where it expands into something like Power Apps or Power BI, or you know, how do maybe we integrate those things together? Maybe they're handled separately for different use cases. So it really comes down to the business on that. So it's not even a technical question. It's a business question at that point.
What are you trying to solve? What problem are you trying to solve? What question are you trying to answer? You know, so we go all the way back to the beginning. I don't care about the tech at this point. You know, what are we trying to do? And once we figure out what we do, what helps us solve that problem? Go ahead, Wendy. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
I'm like messaging the guy's questions. I'm like, I have more questions. All right, I'm going to shoot one more over, and then I promise, Sean, I will shut up and let you end this episode. You said connectors are shared between. So does that mean if I set a data policy, I can set data policies for connectors in both admin centers? Could they come in conflict?
No. Okay. So Power BI doesn't have this concept of connector policies that Power Platform does. So when you apply those are specific to like Power Apps, Power Automate, the Power Platform stuff, except Power BI. So Power BI is governed really by like the gateways and the cloud connections with inside of Power BI, and those are managed separately.
Think of it more like managing it at the network layer. We need firewalls and so on. That's how many organizations try to do it. There are many different ways to manage this. And with that, that's probably a whole separate episode that we'll probably have to talk about security governance and so on and so forth.
We'll title it, Give Me All the Data.
Like I've got so many follow-up questions myself. Like for example, how many times do you often run up when someone thinking that Power BI is just good enough? And I'm trying to stop right now because let's save that for another time, right? Okay. So Wendy does a much better job of closing things than I do. So I'm going to just be quiet and say, Wendy, please, Captain Phillips, land the plane now.
I will restrain the soapbox even more. But where can we go to learn more, Adam and Patrick, about all of this that we talked about today?
Absolutely. Go to YouTube, Guy in a Cube. We post videos every week. We do weekly live streams Saturday mornings, just open Q&A, answer all your questions. Wendy, so if you got more questions, come over to the live stream tomorrow. We'll answer
them. I'm going to go in the YouTube chat. I'll be messaging during your episode.
There you go. And then you'll learn about what this whole It Depends thing is. I would also say if you're just starting out and you want to learn more about it, definitely go check out the Learn documentation.
Yes.
Perfect place to go start. There's also a lot of great certification training and things of that nature that go a little deeper, peel back the onion a little bit more. And then the community in general, whether it's Power Platform community, Power BI community, Fabric community, data community, whatever you want. The communities in general are amazing. And so there's a lot of people out there that want to help you. So from MVPs to just other folks in the community to folks from Microsoft, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Reddit, whether it's the community sites that each area has, those are absolutely places you can go.
Yeah, Adam, they see us out in public. Folks, we are very, say hi. We are very friendly. We love
saying hi. I was just at Adam. I was at getting some food last Friday, and there was this couple. They were like, oh my God, that's Guy in the Cube right there. I was like, hey, come on over. Come on over. Let's talk. Let's do it. Right? I don't care. Yeah.
And we will be there at Power Platform Conference.
So. Yes, we'll be at the Power Platform Conference.
Very cool. Hey, Adam, Patrick, thank you guys so much for joining. Ken, we know you love to talk, and we would, you know, have a third, fourth, fifth episode on all these topics. So definitely look forward to having Patrick and Adam back on the show. And everybody, thank you again so much. We'll have links to all the content that Patrick and Adam mentioned in the show notes. Thank you, guys.